4, verse 6. If you're fairly new here, we're going through the letter to the Philippians. I was trying to think if we've been in Philippians the whole time we've been moved in here. I think that might be true. I think I waited until we got in here and started a study on Philippians. So we've been going verse by verse. It's been a great book, isn't it? What a great letter that Paul wrote. You know, I find a lot of times in my life that I get real busy. In fact, Debbie was counting up my hours to admonish me because I work too many hours. And you know, I get preoccupied with what's going on. And pretty soon, I find in my life that I have lost some peace in my life. And I have to figure out how to relocate that peace, especially when I'm feeling anxious about the events in my life. Do you ever get that way, where it just seems to kind of elude you, and then you have to pull back and look for that? I'm not talking about the peace that we get when we receive Christ as Savior, where we actually receive internal peace in our lives with God. Romans 5 says this about that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we even know that the faith there is really actually Christ's faith, not our faith. Our faith doesn't justify, but because Christ came and had faith and gave of his life, we now have peace with God. We're not at enemies with God anymore. We're at peace. And, you know, I remember that kind of peace came over me when I first trusted in Christ. And it was amazing. I always try to figure out how to describe it, and I can't describe it. I remember standing in a room and finally giving in is the way I felt to God at the time. And I gave in to God, and I said, okay, I'm yours. I'm sick of running the way I've been running my life. And I felt like it was almost like a honey coming over me that wasn't sticky. That's the only way I can describe it. I just felt that sense of peace. And I know that others have felt that same way, but you may have been born in a Christian family, and it may have been a fairly peaceful situation, and so it isn't as blatant as it was for me or others who accepted Christ when you were young. I remember actually talking to this one guy. It was really great because I had been counseling him. A counseling service called me and asked me if I'd counsel this guy because he's in my neighborhood. And so I counseled him with it. I was sharing his faith because sharing my faith because his wife was a Christian, but he was not. And so I had really strongly on a Thursday night shared my faith with him, and he said, I'm going to have to think about that. And he asked me where to read, and I said, why don't you read in Romans? And I told him where to read. Well, he read the whole thing on Friday night, and he was in an apartment by himself, and he got all the way to Romans 10:9. And I wrote, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And he said, I just knew right then I needed to stop, get on my knees, and ask Christ to come into my life. And he said, as soon as he finished his prayer, he began to feel like he was having a heart attack. And so he ran around the room, and he said, everything got so calm and so almost euphoric that he said, this is it. I'm going down. And so he ran around looking for his doctor's phone number until he realized, he remembered that this verse right here, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And he realized, wait a minute, I'm experiencing peace for the first time. You know, it's happens differently with people. And by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, when I get done, Clyde's going to come up and share a little bit about how you can have that same peace. But you know, when Paul says, be anxious for nothing, he's not talking about that peace with God. He's talking to Christians, functioning Christians, that need to have peace within their circumstances. Because I don't know about you, but we experience a lot of circumstances, a lot of trouble, and a lot of problems in our life. And it's very easy in family crisis and work crisis and relationship crisis that we all live with not to have peace during that time. And so Paul is saying, don't worry about anything. I want to put a little emphasis on that because we think some things. Don't worry about anything. Isn't it funny how if we use the word anxious, it sounds kind of bad. But if we use the word worry, oh, well, that's okay. Worry's okay. It's just don't be anxious. Well, what's the difference? Nothing. There is no difference between the two. Anxious and worry mean the same thing. And so our text says, be anxious for nothing or don't worry about anything. It could be translated each way. And it's talking about a life stabilizer that's incredible when you think about it. Last week we heard, draw near to God, and or God is near, and then he says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about anything. What a stabilizer. Peace in our circumstances. Having peace when we go through troubles. You know, several years ago, I worked for a company, and we built a new building. It was a 52,000 square foot building, and I was the project manager. And the details were incredible, but when we finished moving in, I thought, okay, good, we're done, and it only began. And same thing that happened here, and I don't, you know, I had to learn the lesson twice, I think, but machines needed to be hooked up, electric needed to be routed, production that needed to get back up to speed, and you know, I had run four, before we made the move, I ran 4 months worth of product so we would have the time to just hook everything up, get it up. And then, as a lot of people would say, Murphy's Law took place. We had a run on our product and it was gone in 3 weeks. 4 months of inventory was gone in 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, there was arguing and finger pointing. People were yelling at each other. Customers were threatening to quit, our major customers, and subcontractors weren't showing up to do the work because they had other stuff to do, and I felt anxious. You know what I'm saying? It was like, man, this was a pressure cooker, and one particular day at the end, towards the end of it all, and we were getting things hooked up, I really had this sense of weakness, and I grabbed a pallet jack, and I was pulling a pallet out, and I couldn't get it moved, and one of the guys came over and knocked my hand off and pulled it and took it on down the aisle. And I thought, what in the world's going on? And he looked at me as he went by and he said, man, you look white. And so I went back to my office and I thought, gee, I wonder if I'm getting the flu or something. And people were looking at me and pretty soon they were kind of running around. And one of the guys said, hey, come with me. And I said, okay, what? And he says, we've called your doctor and we're going to take you to your doctor. And so we went to the doctor and finally I said, well, what's going on? I had an EKG and he said, I don't know, Steve. It could have been that you had a heart attack, a mild heart attack. And I thought, wow. And so after several visits to the cardiologist and they cut me loose. A lot of you remember that event because it was kind of traumatic for the church even because everybody thought I was going to die as a pastor. And it was kind of a traumatic time. But the doctor said, well, the only thing I can tell you, Steve, now is you belong to the heart club. And you who've had heart issues, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, what was funny is a few years later, I was sitting at a summit leadership conference. Willow Creek puts on a conference in August. And this Hawaiian pastor got up. Now, this Hawaiian pastor has 10,000 people in the University of Hawaii Stadium. And so he has to do church there, get it all done, and get out of there before the football games. Can you believe that? Now, you talk about a stress thing. They bring in, I can't remember how many semis, and they put them out, and they have people there that are like 4 in the morning, and they set all up, they do it all, and then they set it or put it all back away. We've never had to do that kind of thing. And so he said he was driving down the road, and all of a sudden he got that feeling in his arm and chest, and he pulled over, and he thought, man, this is it. I'm having a heart attack. And he called his doctor, and he explained the symptoms, and they were exactly my symptoms. And I'm listening to this guy, and his doctor says, no, you aren't having a heart attack. You're having an anxiety attack. I thought, dang, man, that doesn't sound very noble. Heart attack sounds better, you know, and looking back, even though it's anxiety, it's real, it's hard. Many of you have struggled with anxiety attacks and ultimate worry. And, you know, I had to, from that point on, I had to change the way I process worry. And I had to start admitting to myself that I am not a piece of iron. That I'm a human and I have weakness and I could be vulnerable to health issues. I remember my wife even saying to me, honey, when I was having some chest pain, she said, honey, please don't die on me. And I thought, man, I've got to change the way I think, those type of things. And so I looked at it and I asked myself, how, if I'm a Christian, How in the world do I not have peace? After all, isn't that our name, our claim as Christians, is that we have peace and the world doesn't? So how can I have peace and yet not have peace? And it kept on rolling through my mind, thinking about it, and I had been taught wrongly that Christians, when they become a Christian, have peace, and they have peace from then on. Well, we do with God, don't we? But not necessarily with circumstances. And so don't worry about anything. When Paul's saying that, he's talking about project management peace. He's talking about passing grades peace. He's talking about bringing your report card home when you're young peace. I mean, I had to have a lot of peace in the early years. Finding a boyfriend peace. Losing your job peace. Marriage problems peace. Speaking in front of people, peace. Finding a gas station when you run out of gas, which I do quite often, peace. Retirement, peace. Financial, peace. Relationship conflict, peace. Or am I okay, peace. You fill in the blanks on yours. Everyone I know struggles with maintaining peace. Isn't that true? How long does it take you before you start hearing people talk about their worry? We as Christians worry just as much as those out in the world. Don't kid yourself. So I want to define anxiety and worry so we can get a look at it. It comes from a Greek word, and it means anxious about, worried, or concerned for. As defined by Thayer, anxiety means to be pulled in different directions. For example, our hopes pull us one way, and our fears pull us in the opposite direction. And so to be anxious really means to be pulled apart. Isn't that the way it feels at times? And then to worry in the English origins has a whole different picture, but yet is kind of the same. It comes from a word to mean strangle or to be strangled by something. And so if you're worried, it does indeed sometimes feel like we're getting strangled. But from a spiritual and biblical perspective, anxiety is the wrong thinking as a Christian. It's the wrong spiritual response because God tells us what the response is. And, you know, if you look at worry and you look at anxiety, it's based deeply in fear. That's what the problem is. We're a fearful, fearful people. And John talks about that in 1 John 4:18 and 19, and it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." And when he says perfect, he means the word complete. We love him because he first loved us. And since worry really is an act of fear, let me just put worry in there and let's reread it again. There is no worry in love. Man, that's a little hard, isn't it? There's no worry in love, but perfect or complete love casts out worry, because worry involves torment. But he who worries has not been made perfect or complete in love. We love him because he first loved us. Worry involves torment. Worry involves a lack of maturity on our part as a Christian. John's focus is on loving and trusting God. But when we fear circumstances, when we become anxious, when we begin to worry, it becomes the greatest thief in our life of joy, isn't it? I mean, the minute you worry, you lose your joy, you lose your thanksgiving, you lose all those things that God talks about because you're taking it on yourself. And it doesn't help for us to tell us ourselves, quit being anxious. Have you ever done that? I'll do that and I'll stop and I'll think, okay, Steve, stop worrying, stop being anxious. How's it work for you? Anxiety takes a little more than good intentions or practice of rethinking the issues and that kind of thing. I mean, let me just give you a little porthole here. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and tried to stop thinking about something you're worrying about? Is it just me? Okay, you've done that too. All right. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning all of a sudden and your mind's spinning around and you're thinking about these and you don't know why. You're awake, and so you think to yourself, oh, did I drink some pop last night with caffeine? Was it the chocolate? Right? Don't act like you haven't done that. You wake up, and you're worried about something. You try to stop thinking about it, and you try to go back to sleep, and all of a sudden it comes back like a 10-pound boomerang. You know, in fact, I got to the place, you know, especially when we were building this church, I put a little tablet over on my table with a pen, and I thought, okay, when I wake up and worry, I'm just going to write that down. Have you ever looked at your writing when you wake up in the morning, when you're half asleep? Pretty unintelligible. Listen to me on this. We need to understand the core of this so we know what to do about it. Anxiety is worrying about the uncontrollable. That's why we get so fearful. Your mind is trying to figure out a way to control circumstances when they're uncontrollable. You can't control them. And the more you try to control, the more anxious you get. And if you look at the thrust of Scripture, God never intended us to control circumstances, believe it or not. He wants us to walk through the circumstances, even if it's suffering, and grow into maturity. His desire is that we joyously live through those circumstances. So let's look at God's antidote to anxiety and worry as revealed by God. Verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything. I'm trying to emphasize that a little bit. Everything by prayer, which means to talk and to God back and forth in worship, and supplication, which means requests, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The antidote to anxiety is praying. Men, listen to me here for a second. Tuesday, in men's group, we're going to listen to a thing on the house of prayer. I have never heard as good of a sit down and listen as that in my whole life. I have a CD of that I've been listening to. How many times have you listened to it, Clyde, do you think? 100. 100, yeah. I have probably listened to it probably 30, 40 times. It's so good. And men, if you don't come to the men's group, come this Tuesday night at 7 and watch that. Because the antidote to anxiety and worry is prayer. And Paul counsels us to take everything to God in prayer. Don't worry about anything, but pray. Pray about everything. You know, the problem is that we are prone to pray about the big things, and we kind of let the little things go, and those are the little things that get us, and little things turn into big things, yeah, if we don't pray about them. So, you know, I know that you've had the same problem as me. I don't think I'm describing anything that you haven't experienced, that we get to the place where we have huge issues or we have small issues. Prayer is the only way out. God gives no other instructions about worrying and anxiety but prayer. And if you haven't memorized Philippians 4, 6, and 7, man, I would suggest that you take a hard look at that and memorize it, because that has been a verse I memorized probably the second week I was a Christian. A pastor told me to memorize that, and I didn't know better, so I did it. And now I am so glad because I can quote that over and over. But you know what? You get anxious and that kind of thing, and He waits. He waits for you. He waits for you to talk to Him, to discuss it with Him, to ask for some relief. And you know, when we're in those bad circumstances, understand the verse doesn't say, I'm going to answer your prayer. Just like Jesus last week, it said that he was heard because of who he was, and yet God didn't answer Christ's prayer. He went to the cross. He may not answer the prayer the way we want it, but he will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. You with me on that? Let's make a commitment this week. Every time we worry, you know, even this morning, I woke up and I thought, oh, I think my sermon screwed up. That happens to me a lot between Saturday and Sunday, because I'll preach a Saturday and I thought, oh, I don't think it's very good and I need to go in. And I thought, okay, Lord, why don't I take my own advice here and pray? And so I prayed about it. And next thing I knew, it was 2 hours later and I woke up and got up, because we just don't take it to him in prayer, do we? We need to be people of prayer. Let's pray. Father, help us. When we're anxious, help us to pray. Help us to get into the mode of talking with you and asking things of you and fellowshipping with you and reading your word and having a good time. Lord, we who do that on a daily basis really have a sense of relationship with you, and people who don't do that usually don't have a sense of relationship with you. So help us to draw into that. Lord, pull us in and talk to us and help us to talk to you in Jesus' name.